In theaters, it's the stimulating comedy about a president romancing the opposition party. Barack Obama stars in GOP's Just Not That Into You.
Hey, it's Barack. How about we get together? I'll bring the wine. You bring a few dozen Republican votes for my bill. Call me.
Barack Obama brings down the House and Senate when he has the audacity to hope the Republicans will go along with his bailout.
Hello, it's Barack again. I'm not crazy or anything, but I was hoping you'd vote for my package because my package would sure vote for you. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call.
If you love Divine Secrets of the Yaya Spending Spree and the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pork Barrel, you've got to go see Barack Obama in GOP's Just Not That Into You.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
A primatologist dethrones an alpha male baboon. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Primate researcher Dr. Rodney Helfinger announced today that after years of intensive study in the wild, he has successfully unseated and replaced the male leader of a local baboon troop. Helfinger reports that his superior human intelligence made all the difference.
I mean, I'm pretty much the smartest of the bunch. Plus, I always carry with me this gun, and they're terrified that I'm going to shoot them in their baboon faces.
Dr. Helfinger's critics, however, disagree. Dr. Helfinger has ignored such criticism and says the other males are simply jealous because now those engorged female baboon genitalia are all his. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, salute you, Mr. Unromantic Valentine's Day Gift Giver.
Mr. Unromantic Valentine's Day Gift Giver.
She's stuck by your side for 15 years. So isn't it about time you buy her a brand new bagless vacuum cleaner with all the attachments?
It's the gift that really sucks.
The heck with flowers, candy, or jewelry. Mr. Unromantic Valentine's Day Gift Giver, a set of frying pans is the perfect way to say I love you.
Now you can make breakfast for me.
Do you think you'll ever get some now?
A headache that won't go away. Yeah.
So this Valentine's Day, skip the aisles with the lingerie, the perfumes, or diamonds, and head right for housewares and appliances, just like Mr. Unromantic Valentine's Day Gift Giver. A real American hero.
Mr. Unromantic Valentine's Day Gift Giver.
A blunder. Nice job, Casanova.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back. It's a rainy day. It's Monday, February 9th.
Oh, my God.
It's your last fucking week, Susie.
Maybe. If the freaking visa gods come through.
Now it's maybe. Well, you're starting to confuse everyone around you.
I know. I'm confusing myself. Like, I'm ready to go.
Are you?
But, well, kind of. I've already, said goodbye to people and, you know, I'm getting ready to go.
All I can tell you is this. I'm getting the feeling of hesitation from you.
It doesn't have to do with me, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Okay.
It has to do with school and them getting my transcripts and me getting my visa in a timely fashion.
Yeah. Be honest with me now.
Yes.
Okay. Are you like 100% that this is what you want to do?
Yes.
Okay. So you have no doubts?
No.
No hesitation?
No.
Okay.
None.
So I'm getting wrong vibes then. Okay.
I'm just telling you, I'm getting a little bit freaked out because I know this is what I want to do. I know I'm trying to move forward with this. I'm trying to get like everything in order. But at the same time, it's like, for some reason, time is really running out very quickly. And
yeah. Well, you didn't give yourself enough time, but I guess it's because of school, right?
It's because when school starts, yes. Yeah. Yes. Worst case scenario, I can push it back a week, my departure, hopefully. And go to school directly when class starts and just miss orientation.
Yeah.
Which would kind of suck, you know, being kind of behind everyone else and not knowing, like, where my classes are. And
yeah.
I don't know. You never want to miss orientation and start, like, behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
So what happens?
So you don't get a visa until you get accepted into the college, right?
Yes. I can't get my confirmation of enrollment code, mm-hmm. which the visa department needs in order to give me my student visa, until they get my official transcripts.
Right. Okay.
So, and that one fucking woman in Salem State at my old college, like, I swear to God, Rosemary.
Rosemary.
Oh, I've been meaning to call you. Rosemary? I'm going to forget. Rosemary. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
So, what kind of school is that? I mean, there's, like, only one woman that can do this?
Apparently. I don't know. But, yeah, apparently she was the only woman in the transcript office, and... Oh, my God. Yeah, they say usually it'll take a couple of weeks, and I'm like, Rosemary, this cannot take a couple of weeks. It needs to happen now, bitch. Oh, fuck, man.
Yeah. So we had the cool open house this weekend, and,
you managed
to come, which was nice.
I know. That actually worked out. Friends. That worked out perfectly for me, because I was laying in bed when I got your email being like, come to the open house.
Yeah.
And I
wonder what it is that made me just decide to send you an email and remind you.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
I'm very, very glad you did. Because I was supposed to work that day, and then I had planned on having the open house on Sunday. I don't know why I thought it was Sunday.
Yeah.
But so my work called right after I got your email, and they were like, can you come tomorrow instead? And I was like, this is perfect. Now I get to go to the open house today, which I felt like doing more so than going to work because I was really hungover.
Because you really like the bagels we get.
I wish I had known, like, before you sent the email, because I'd already eaten breakfast.
Oh,
so
you
I only managed to shove half a bagel in my face.
It's too bad. You should have taken some with you. We had so many.
Oh, my God.
I bought, like, 50 donuts. I mean, not donuts, but bagels.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, yeah.
How much do 50 bagels cost?
$50 or something.
A dollar a bagel?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow, you're not Jewish after
Sam. You get, like...
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I have a song that I have to play for you. It's like something with fuck you in it.
Okay.
And I have to get that just for these moments.
Thank
when
you.
I need to tell you.
You could just tell me, like you have been doing for the past like 8 months. Yeah.
I have not.
You have too.
No, I haven't.
You do too.
But listen, I was reminiscing. I was starting to reminisce already this weekend.
Aww.
I was listening to our replays and I'm going, fuck, we have such a great show, you know. You're like really into it and everything and you're funny as hell, you know.
I don't think that I'm that funny.
I think you are.
It's weird because
you have a great sense of humor. I mean, you're game for anything.
In my normal day-to-day life, though, like, I really don't think I'm funny, and I don't think I have a sense of humor. Like, I go to, like, people will drag me to a comedy or to a movie, and I go to see it, and I'm like, I don't think that's funny.
Really? You don't get it?
Well, I get it, but I'm like, I don't think it's funny. I find no humor in, like, a lot of things. I guess it's a lot of mindless humor that I don't really like or get, except when I make the jokes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but the comedies today are just like, they suck for the most part. They're not funny.
No.
You know, you used to have Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and all these funny, really funny guys doing movies. And they were funny as hell.
What happened to Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray?
I don't know. They sort of like faded.
They fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, they seem to have. But
Bill Murray is one of my favorites.
Isn't he funny? I mean, he's hilarious.
He's just wonderful.
And you know, they're all from Saturday Night Live. I mean, they all started there. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was before you were born. I mean, these were the times like in the 70s. That's when they were big. You know, John Belushi.
Yeah.
You know?
They were really
big. Did you know John Belushi or only Jim Belushi since you're so young?
Well, I know both of them. Well, I know
of them.
But actually, one of my best friends is very good friends with Jim.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, his brother was like a genius, you know? And he was found in a motel here on Sunset, overdosed on freebasing or something, or speedballing, whatever the fuck they call it. Yeah.
Wait, crystal meth?
No, I don't think crystal meth was popular back then. It was like this heroin that you mix with cocaine and you cook it together or something.
Ooh.
Isn't that speedballing or something?
Yeah. You know what? I'm actually not that familiar with the cocaine-heroin mixtures.
Yeah. Haven't explored those yet.
Nope. My arms are track-free.
Well, no, they smoke this when they cook it together.
I accidentally smoked cocaine once. Isn't that crack?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, crack is just It's different, you know.
Well, I was told it wasn't crack specifically by the dealer. Yeah. And he's like, come on, just smoke it, just smoke it. And I'm like, well, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, isn't this crack? And he's like, no, it's not crack, smoke it. And so I was like, okay, so I smoked it. And then all of a sudden, like this guy, he was so creepy. His name was Greg, and this was back in Hopewell Junction, New York. And I was bartending at this like redneck biker bar where I learned how to bartend when I was underage. Like, I had the 6 at night till 6 in the morning shift. I was the only bartender there. I was the only bouncer. Like, I would cook the food in the kitchen and run this fucking redneck biker bar wearing, like, a slutty little outfit and just, like, shake my fucking ass for these people and just, like, fucking rob them of their money. But so this one guy, Greg, he was totally creepy. He had a rat tail, first of all, which just says it all. And he was, like, 40 with a rat tail, you know, and, like, greasy kind of hair and, like, this black leather jacket that he would always come in. The whole outfit just kind of, like, made him look, like, seedy. Uh-huh. But so every day he would come in, he would put an 8-ball of coke in my pocket because I would work the 6 at night till 6 in the morning shift, whatever. And so I'd be in the bathroom doing coke all night. But so then he always like had this massive crush on me, obviously. Well, not obviously, but you know, obviously if he was giving me these drugs, he had some sort of crush on me. So one night he was like, come back to my house, we'll play chess. And me, loving chess and being very competitive with these things, I was like, all right. So I go back to his house and it was like 4 in the morning. I closed the bar early that day. And he was the one that was trying to get me to smoke the crack. And I'm like... So we're playing chess and he makes me smoke this shit. I freaked the fuck out.
Really?
I was like, oh my God. Because then, out of nowhere, he pulls his dick out of his pants.
What?
He takes his penis out of his pants and it was like this hard, throbbing...
Did he put it in your hand?
No, it was this veiny looking thing and I was so freaking high. The room was like going, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm just like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Wow.
And so I got up.
You were underage at the time?
Yeah, I was like 19.
And how old was he?
Like 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I freak out. I fucking like, I'm trying to like find my purse and stumbling out of his house. And it was just like the creepiest place I'd ever been in my life. And like getting to my car. And I was actually staying at my mom's house at the time. And so going to my mom's house, high on crack, after this had happened, she's coming down to have her coffee for the morning. And I'm like stumbling into the house on crack. And I'm like, good night. Really tired after work. Fuck. And I like locked myself in my room. And I'm like, this really sucks.
Yeah. I can't believe he took out his dick. But you know what? Men are such fucking dogs.
Seriously. I mean, really.
Yeah, keep your dick in your pants.
I'm telling you, like, I've never forgotten the look of that penis. As
really?
I'm sitting there, like, watching the chessboard, like, contemplating my next move, like, being like, all right, should I take queen exchange? Like, what should I do? Like, da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, like, the penis appears looming over the chessboard.
Wow. That's traumatic in certain circles.
Oh, my God. In certain circles. Jesus. Even for a horny little whatever like me, I wasn't that bad at the time, but I was still kind of, I was actually very, very kind of naive at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 40-year-old man. You still look at him as like authority figure.
And he literally like lured me to his house with like the idea of like drugs and chess. For some reason, the two seem diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
And you followed.
I followed. I totally followed.
Yeah. I don't know, you know.
Candy?
I mean, like during the 80s, coke was really, really popular. You know, I mean, everybody was doing it.
Mm.
And it was kind of cool, you know, you sneak around in a party or something, you go in the bathroom and a couple
people.
You
just feel sketchy on it. You just feel fucking sketchy.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? As far as the buzz, I never really enjoyed it that much.
You know what?
I never felt it.
I never did either. Yeah. And I was a cokehead for like years.
Really?
Yeah. But I would become like an antisocial cokehead. Like I would go and get like an 8-ball of cocaine for myself, which is a copious amount of drugs for one person. And I would like not. I wouldn't pick up the phone. I would like turn the Young and the Restless marathons on, and I would like freaking get bottles of wine and like do coke, chain smoke, and drink bottles of wine by myself.
But you see, I mean, it would make me so fucking restless.
Well, that's why you drink the wine.
Yeah.
Because if you drink the wine, you know, it kind of like evens you out.
Yeah. So then what's the point in the first place, you know?
I don't know. Actually, speaking of coke, my first coke dealer, I won't give out his name.
Good.
But he worked in the kitchen at this restaurant I worked in. And let's see, I was probably like 16 or something, and he was like my first like real coke dealer. I'd tried it before, but I'd never like bought it.
Right.
But so the very first time, I get freaking like 2 grams from this guy. And so I go into the restaurant bathroom and I put it out on the back of the toilet seat, which is so disgusting. Thinking about this, I'm like, ew. Just ew. Really? Like, how gross can you be? And then, but so I didn't know like what I was supposed to do. So I put it all out. I snorted it all at once.
What? 2 grams? 2 fucking grams of coke?
All at once.
Wow.
So I come out of the
bathroom. What happened to your nose? I mean, it must have been burning as crazy.
Well, This was so bad. Because I was underage, I wasn't allowed to work at the restaurant, but or not work, drink at the restaurant. But so all my friends were sitting at the bar, so I go out to sit at the bar, and I'm just like, my legs like thumping and shaking, yeah. And my hands are freaking shaking, and I'm just kind of like, And so I keep ordering all these soda waters with a splash of cranberry, and I'm just sucking them down. I'm just sucking them down so fast. I'm like, holy fuck. And then this guy comes over to me, my drug dealer, and he was like, Jesus, Susie, how much did you fucking do? And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, how much coke did you do? And I was like, I did it all. And he was like, what? Jesus fucking Christ. He's like, you just fucking did 2 grams in like 5 minutes? He's like, you're going to fucking die. And I was like, what? Meanwhile, I feel like my heart's going to explode out of my chest. I'm like, oh my God. So I like run out of the restaurant and I'm sitting on the curb like chain smoking because now I don't know what else to do except chain smoke.
Yeah.
And finally he comes out. He's like, where's your fucking car? And I had a little Miata at the time. I was like, it's over here. So we hop in my little Miata and like he just starts driving me around to kind of try and calm me down. And I'm like, am I going to die? But let me fast forward a couple of weeks. So now I'm an experienced cocaine user. And even though I didn't like the high and I didn't have a really good, you know, main first experience with it, of course I start doing it all the time. I guess it's just the act of doing it. I don't know what it is. It's like the act of smoking. I like to do it. Yeah. I don't really like... I don't know. I like it.
I know. It's crazy, though.
And even though you don't like it and you know it's bad, you like it anyway. But so anyway, like now this guy and I were leaving a bar, and I was wearing a T-shirt that said my boarding school name on it. Uh-huh. It said, like, Emma Willard Athlete or something. And so I had had 10 freaking Cosmopolitans, martinis, like girly martinis, but they're still, like, mainly vodka. And so I was freaking wasted. So we're in the car together, and I'm driving him home, and he was like, Susie, slow down. I was like, not fucking slowing down. I'm invincible. Nothing can stop me. Susie, slow down the fucking car. Like, if you get pulled over, I go to jail. Because he had, like, I don't know, he's on parole? What's that?
Oh, yeah? Probation.
No, I think he was on parole.
Was he, really?
Yes, yes. He was kind of an unsavory character, to say the least.
Gee.
But I'm doing 71 in a 30 in my little Miata. And I've got like a huge freaking thing of drugs right in my coffee cup in my center console. And so I see a cop that had pulled someone over on the other side of the road. And I like yell out. I was like, suckers, like sex for you. And so I start speeding by even faster. The cop decides to let that person go, flip a bitch and come get me.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, no. And this guy was just like, I'm going to kill you. I'm really going to kill you. If I go back to jail right now, because you wouldn't fucking slow down, you stupid bitch. And I was like, sorry. I guess I'm not invincible. But then the male cop comes and he's like, ma'am, alcohol is permeating your vehicle. Please get out of the car. And I'm like, I'm getting a Dewey. I'm like, this is it. My life is over. I'm going to jail. I've got freaking a copious amount of cocaine in the car. This fucking sucks. So I go and I get out of my car and I stand in front of it while he goes to run my license. He sends a female cop to stand next to me.
Uh-huh.
That was his partner. She walks up to me and she was like, she reads my shirt, which says Emma Willard Athlete. She's like, oh my God, you went to Emma Willard. And I was like, yes, yes, I went to Emma Willard. And she was like, I went to Emma Willard. Everyone in my family went to Emma Willard, all the girls. I can't believe this is happening to you. I
really?
Know how responsible Emma girls are. This does not happen to Emma Willard girls. And I was like,
whoa.
I was like, you don't even know how responsible I am. I you know, blah, blah. Like, I'm head of the chess club. I'm head of this club. And, you know, I've got straight A's. And she was like, hold on a minute. She goes back to her car, goes and talks to her male cop partner who's running my license. He comes up to me fucking, like, just steam coming out of his ears, and he's like, get in your fucking car. And I was like, what? Breathing martini all over his face, like the fucking drugs sitting right there. I didn't even bother to hide them because I was so like just drunk and shocked.
Yeah.
And he's like, get in your car. I'm like, really? He's like, here. And he writes out a ticket. It was a $10 seatbelt violation ticket.
Whoa.
And he was like, I don't know what kind of connection you have with her. I was like, and he's like, and I don't even want to know. He's like, but you better fucking do the speed limit. And if I ever see you again, and if you don't pay this ticket, he's like, I'm going to fuck you.
And he knew you were fucked up.
Oh, my God.
Really, he could tell.
Oh, my God, yes.
Wow.
Yes. So.
You're like Teflon, you know, nothing sticks to you.
Oh, well, that's I don't know, that's a funny thing, because my father, like, he hates when I get out of all my speeding tickets. He's like, Susie, I always call him, I'm like, guess what, Dad? I just got to have another ticket, ha. And he's like, you're never going to fucking learn until you get caught. And I was like, well, lucky for me, I never get caught.
Yeah.
Knock, 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 on wood.
Yeah.
But yeah, can you believe that?
No.
I should probably still be in jail.
Wow, that's true.
Like, federal pound me up the ass prison.
Wow, to drive with all that paraphernalia and shit.
Oh, man.
My God. Yeah. What are we going to do with you, Susie?
I don't know.
Are you going to slow down in Australia, I think?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Do you want to?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm tired of living such a fast-paced life. Even when I was there, I slowed down for like the whole time.
But why do you have to?
I can't really help it sometimes.
Yeah. You running away from something, you think?
You sound... Oh, God, here we go. Here's the intervention again.
Dr. Phil.
Round three. Ding, ding, ding. Take your corners. No, but Chase is the same thing. She's like, Susie, every time you go somewhere and you settle in and everything in your life starts going really well, you just decide to up and leave.
Yeah.
She's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like when you have a boyfriend. You know, he's not so great, but he's okay. He'll do for the time being. And then you decide to trade up.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of trading up with my life.
I see.
Not really trading up, because I really do love my life here.
Yeah.
But
you're just fried. I mean, your brain is fried probably from all the shit
you do.
So you could use some rest, I think.
I really... you don't know me like when I'm like really, really in school. You only see me when I'm in part-time. But if I'm in school full-time, like I make that my life. And I go crazy about school the way I go crazy about everything else.
Yeah.
I become like total like geek and just like I'll snort my Adderall and like stay in the library for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
You like school.
I love school.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I could be in school for the rest of my life and be quite happy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Not have to deal with reality.
School's reality.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, you know, like serial students, okay? All they ever do is just be students because they don't want to go out to the real world.
Well, I'm not postponing the real world. I've found a delicate balance between the real world and going to school, but... Yeah. I just find until I freaking can bang out my freaking bachelor's degree, you know what I mean? I just want to get that shit done.
Yeah.
It's really kind of annoying at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're still working on your bachelor's, that's right.
Well, I've had five different majors at five different schools.
Yeah. So you get credits coming out of your ass, probably, that you can't use.
Well, I can use them for certain things. Some of them I can use. All my psychology ones transfer, and that's good.
Right.
But everything else, like the herpetology and the history and the special education and... I don't know, whatever else I've done. I mean, it all kind of comes together and gives... It makes me a more complete, round person, I think.
I suppose.
Do I look funny in my hoodie and my sunglasses?
No, you always look funny, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You've got a scarf, right? What's the pattern on it? Like a zebra, right?
It is.
Yeah, or a tiger.
This is one of my favorite cashmere scarves.
Yeah.
It's very soft.
And you got a nice brown leather jacket.
This jacket, I freaking found... at Boyd's in Boston, which is like... Or no, Louis in Boston, which is like this ridiculously expensive department store. I mean, ridiculous. You think of Barney's, like this place is like, way more expensive.
Yeah, but it looks like an expensive jacket.
But I had to throw a fucking fit to get this jacket. I have not thrown a fit for anything in my entire life except this jacket.
Really?
I saw it and I wanted it and I had to have it.
Yeah.
And the store was actually closing. And
so who's the recipient of that?
Of the bill? You know. Okay. But he was like, it's ugly. That. He's like, absolutely not. And I was taking flying lessons at the time, and I thought I looked like Amelia Earhart in the jacket.
Yeah. You do.
And I was like, this is my flying jacket. I have to have it. And he's like, no, it's hideous. It looks awful on you.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, and besides, the price is like ridiculous. It was like $3,000. And so
$3,000.
Yes. He's like, I'm not spending $3,000 on the ugly jacket. And so like I pouted. I walked down like six flights of stairs in that freaking department store, throwing a fit, just crying and just stomping my feet and pouting. And we finally got to like the last door and like they were about to like lock the door behind us. And finally he's like, oh, fine. Fine. And he throws his credit card at me, and I was like, really? I wiped the tears from my face.
You realize that's how little kids behave at Toys R Us.
I know. Well, I'm telling you, I hadn't thrown a fit about like anything in my life except this jacket, but I knew I wanted it.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. How long have you had it?
I'm going on like 2 years now.
Oh, okay.
But I couldn't wait for it to get like worn in and kind of like beat up. And
yeah, it looks worn in now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
What have you done to do that, to get that effect?
I've worn it.
Oh, okay.
I've worn it, and I've thrown it in piles, and I've gotten drunk, and I've spilled things on it, and I've...
Really?
I dropped
it. No cum stains?
Probably.
Yeah?
Probably. Speaking of cum stains... what?
Okay, are we speaking of it?
We haven't even got... Well, you brought it up.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I guess not really speaking of cum stains, but... So I've been talking to Daniel quite a bit lately.
Uh-huh.
And he's been listening to other radio shows that we've had. And he's like horrified by me.
I wonder why.
He's like, you go from talking about being like dick slapped in the face with having cum stains on your shirt to like whipping a bag of broccoli out of your purse. He's like, who the fuck are you and what is going on? And I was like, listen, asshole. I never said I was no virgin. I was like, you know what? In fact, I think I probably slept with more people than you have. And he's like, no, you haven't. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I have. And he's like, no, you haven't. And so the banter like goes back and forth. Uh-huh. And I was like, but baby, I was like, you're the last dick I'll ever have. It's just you. You're the only cum stains I'll be wearing for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Does he like that?
I don't know. I don't think he believes it. He's like, I listened to the way you like have destroyed people's lives.
And the way you indeed.
Oh, I should have laughed about it. It's not funny. But what?
Old bodies thrown, you know, behind you.
Seriously.
All the fucking victims and casualties.
Oh, my God. I actually had dinner with another ex-boyfriend last night, too.
Did you really?
Yes. And that was an interesting story.
Do we know that one?
This ex-boyfriend?
Yes.
Well, tell me if you think that this is a boyfriend.
Okay.
So, because I had a hard time grappling. Oh, he's the one that actually took the topless pictures of me on Facebook. The most recent ones I posted up, where I'm all wet with the jacket. By the ocean?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a jacket? I thought it was a shirt.
No, it's his jacket, actually, because my nipples felt like they were going to freeze off.
Oh, okay.
And so he gave me his coat after he doused me in ocean water so I can look wet and hot and bothered in pictures.
And you do.
Yes, thank you. But so, whatchamacallit? Okay. So about, now it's going on about like a year and a half ago, a year and a half ago, let's say. So I meet him on one of my bike rides. And, you know, I was kind of flirting with him. He actually looked exactly like my best friend Janique's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, really?
And so that's how I started, like, talking to him. I ran into him at a liquor store, and I was buying a martini in a bottle. And he was like, martini in a bottle? Like, wow. And I was like, hi. I was like, you look like my best friend's boyfriend. And he was like, really? He's like, that's cool. What's your name? And I was like, Susie. And so we kind of introduced each other. But so then we go off on our bike ride, and he was like, he's like, wow. He's like, bike riders have great asses and thighs. Like, look at that. You've got strong hindquarters. I think that's exactly what he said, that I have really? Strong hindquarters. Oh, I'm like, thanks, I think. But so anyway, like, I ended up sleeping with him probably like two or three bike rides later. We kept running into each other in our bike riding circle. So, excuse me. Oh, fuck. I just burped up scotch. Oh.
How disgusting.
How disgusting is right. My mouth tastes like a fucking brewery. But anyway.
You had scotch last night?
Well, I went to a movie last night, and I was trying to be good. And then after the movie at 1 in the morning, I decided to go to a bar and drink scotch.
Oh.
But that's another story. We'll get
okay,
there.
We'll get to that.
We'll get there. But so I sleep with the guy. You know, we end up, like, hanging out a bunch. And, like, you know, the next day, we go out to the beach, and we go to the rings. And then we sleep together again. But we really didn't sleep together that much. I think we probably only, like, fucked maybe, like, 3 or 4 times.
Right.
And then 6 months went by, and we still had not fucked in those 6 months. Well, since the first couple of times.
Yeah.
We would talk on the phone maybe once a week. Maybe once a week. I would see him maybe once every 2 weeks. And he would not... I wouldn't let him kiss me. I wouldn't let him hold my hand. So, in my mind, we were just friends that had fucked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of make sense?
Yes.
Like, we're not boyfriend-girlfriend if we're not holding hands and talking on the phone all the time and, like, making out.
And you don't have a relationship.
And we don't have a relationship.
Yeah.
So, then, enter the Franz. This is when the Franz era began.
Uh-huh.
So all of a sudden, like, I'm having a bike party at my house, and Franz was there, and this is the night that I fell asleep with my face in his crotch, and I woke up in the drool stain.
Right.
That's happened to me a lot, actually. I can count 3 men right now that I've fallen asleep in their crotches having, like, drool stains.
And
so I wonder if I drool
one
a lot.
One on the airplane, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One in the airplane, one in New York City, and one in California. So El Salvador, New York, and L.A. But so Brett was at the party that night at my house, and I got wasted, and like he was just telling me this last night, and I don't even remember it, but he was like, he freaked out. And then at another bike ride, he saw Franz like tackle me and make out with me, and he freaked out again.
Yeah.
So then Brett decided that Then he decided he hated me. And so last night I wanted to get the rest of the naked photo shoot pictures from him.
Uh-huh.
So we went out to dinner, and he had renamed the file "Fuck That Bitch."
Really?
Yes. How wrong is that?
Oh, man.
I mean, that's not nice.
Fuck that bitch.
Fuck that bitch. That's what he had renamed my file. But, yeah, I don't know. So,
you think you're pissing off a lot of people sometimes? I mean, it goes beyond funny sometimes, you know? I think maybe some people are, like, really, really hurt, you know, and they resent you and stuff. I mean,
well, they do, obviously. They do at first.
Yeah.
But then they realize it's easier to love me than to hate me.
Exactly.
And they understand the machine that is Susie.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't try to hold on to it and you'll be fine.
Exactly.
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 Yeah. God. We need to call our author.
Let's call our author.
You know what? It's again in London.
Get your calling card out.
But you know what's really ridiculous? It's not that I have to pull my card out. If I only remembered, maybe I just do like Overseas Darling from here. It's not a big deal. But I don't think about it because, you know, once in a blue moon we call.
You could sign
London
on.
Or
you
something.
Could sign on to my Skype because I've got money charged up on it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, well, but it's not on the same account. Do you know how hard? Did I tell you how hard it is to pay for anything on Skype?
Why? I set up an account when I was in Australia. It was super easy. You know, you call and like, or you not call, but you like type in your credit card information and then they send like a confirmation to your bank and then your bank sends a confirmation back to you.
Well, let me tell you, okay, every payment method I try to do, okay, and we're talking to Susie about $3. $3.
Make you holla.
$3, okay, and every time I put in, no matter what, credit card, debit card, PayPal, every time it gives you an error, payment failed. Okay?
Why?
I've been going out of my fucking mind trying to figure this out. And this is cards and PayPal that I use all the time. Okay?
Do you want to use PayPal to put some money in my account?
And they don't, and they don't give a shit about anything. They have, excuse me, they have no phone numbers to contact them.
None.
Okay? You can't talk to a live person at Skype. Period.
No way.
Okay? Even for the billing department where, you know, they would stand to make more money if they gave you some kind of support. Nothing. It's a British company, by the way.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but that's...
There's got to be some sort of contact number.
No, there isn't. And that's why I'm so fucking pissed off because now I'm stuck trying to pay for a service and I can't. Because these motherfuckers are, you know, and the thing is that they don't have competition. That's why they behave like that.
Why don't they have competition?
Why don't they have competition? Because nobody's figured it out yet.
And how do they make any money?
They make a lot of money from the, you see, because like, you know, we have a service, so you pay for the phone number, you pay to be able to call out, for people to call you from regular phones.
So you pay for it.
Yeah.
But it's
not
to be
a
free.
Lot. It's not a lot. Well, it's free from computer to computer.
Yeah?
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to call London and...
If we can. So far, the calling card has never worked.
Your PIN number.
No, it's not that the credit card hasn't worked. It's just that it's always a pain in the friggin' ass. Let me turn this down.
I like hearing it.
You do?
Yeah. I feel like we're doing a prank phone call.
Yeah, that's true.
You
huh?
have $4.72 remaining.
Okay.
Please enter the telephone number you wish to dial now.
We're almost
0114.
We're almost there, you know? Card number. Shut up. Okay.
0114, right?
Yeah. How did you know? Oh, yeah, because you used to know this guy in England that you called a lot, right?
0114 is actually my password for a lot of things.
Yeah. Now, if someone is working there with some kind of software or something, they could probably figure out what number we called from the beeps.
You have
exactly.
Three.
That's what Eric said.
Remaining yeah. for this call. Well, what do you know? We're getting through, Susie. Thank you all for your patience. Good morning. Is this, well, it's not morning for you, but Catherine Blythe?
No, it's well afternoon. Hello, yes, it is, Catherine. Hi.
Yes, good morning to you. This is Sam and Susie calling you from Los Angeles, California. And
great to hear from
you. Yes. What time is it there? It's the evening already?
It's 5:30, so I'm just reaching that point where I really shouldn't be thinking about dinner, but I am.
That's true.
Have a glass of wine, you'll be fine.
Yeah, or be working to promote your book. Yeah, Susie knows about
I'll
wine.
I'll save the wine for my reward.
Excellent.
Wonderful. So so you wrote a book called The Art of Conversation, A Guided Tour of a Neglected Pleasure.
That's That's right.
Yes. What is the art of conversation? I mean, obviously we talk all the time. We have conversations all the time. Why do we need a book like this?
Well, I wanted to draw people's attention to the fact that conversation is one of life's greatest pleasures that does so much for us. It broadens our minds, it boosts our mood, it builds friendships. It's at the very core of what makes life great. But I'm not sure I agree with what you say. I think that conversation, although it's for thousands of years been the core of human interaction, although we think we're in the communication age now, face-to-face talk in particular is being pushed to the margins for our life. I mean, there may be 3 billion mobile phones, allegedly there are, but how much of us do stitch together our day with those little face-to-face encounters that can make life so meaningful and enjoyable? So there's a kind of rallying cry dimension to the book. And I also think that there's a wider point, why I call it a guided tour, is because although many people think that, you know, being a great conversationalist is about being really funny, really articulate, you know, being able to spout witty quips like Oscar Wilde,
right.
They're losing sight of something. You know, great conversationalists aren't just those people who know how to talk to anybody. They're the ones who understand that conversation is an exchange. So
right.
On my guided tour, I don't just look at how we form words, but all those other tools we devious human animals have for reading and changing each other's minds, you know, humor and flattery, and of course that crucial thing, listening.
Right. And I was going to bring that up because that's, I guess that's an art that's not been very developed over the years.
My boyfriend, actually, he gives me a lot of flack for not being a good listener, and he says our conversations are not exchanges, they're monologues from my point.
Well, he must be able to get a few words in edgeways if he's getting that across.
Yeah.
I only let him speak because he's English and has a gorgeous accent like yours.
Yeah.
So you are listening. It's just taking umbrage, isn't it? I do find that I think in America in particular, more than England actually, people are fantastically, you know, confident and forthcoming in many situations, but there is just a tendency, and I don't know whether it's because it's such an individualist culture and maybe salesmanship, you know, is a great art in America. Maybe people do spend so much time projecting that they are losing sight of the fact that for real communication, a real connection, it's all about, you know, building relationships. I've had experiences. I met a wonderful woman from Miami who... she had a long discussion with my husband. She was very nice, and she was enthusiastically telling him all about her trip to Peru. And he mentioned that he'd lived in Peru and kept trying to sort of drop some penny into the slot machine. But she just didn't listen at all because she was too busy lecturing him. And the worst of that was not only did she seem to be ignoring him, but she ended up coming across as kind of insincere and not really interested in Peru, because if she had been, she might have asked him, who knew rather more about it.
Yes. Now, you know what's fascinating to me is there any difference between conversation styles in the United States and, let's say, the UK?
I think everywhere you go, there are little local differences. I mean, there's a fantastic study, which I think maybe you'll find this true, that compares conversational styles even between California and New York. This lady sat and sort of taped a conversation over Thanksgiving dinner and then interviewed people afterwards. And while the New Yorkers thought they'd had a fantastic time, they were really challenging and really prodding and making bold statements and, you know, disagreeing violently in a kind of Woody Allen-esque way, the lady from California thought she'd had an awful time and felt she'd been domineered and bullied. So I think there are always local differences from family to family and place to place, but those differences aside, there are still kind of timeless tools that translate all over the world, which help making connecting with another human being easier.
Right. And what are some of those tools then?
Well, I mean, it sounds obvious, but maybe more people should think about it. You know, that thing of smiling. I mean, just as an experiment, I'd like you to try this. Go out and spend a day not smiling at anyone. Pretend you've been to the dentist or something.
Right.
And see how awkward things are. Because, you know, just by presenting a particularly positive front, automatically you're transmitting that message, I'm pleased to meet you. And because human beings mirror each other's body language and face, you will get repaid immediately in happy encounters.
It's especially noticeable with small children as well. I nanny part-time for two families, and you know, just interacting with these children, a lot of them, they don't have a firm, well, two of them don't have a firm grasp on language, and the other two are babies. But I mean, it's like, if you go in there and you're in a bad mood, I mean, the kids sense it, and then you go in there and you smile at the children, I mean, it automatically just conveys, like, something, and it's like the language barrier doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
You just cross everything. Yes,
And it's true of everyone. I mean, a lot of people make an awful lot of money, you know, scrutinizing body language. But if you just watch people, they synchronize their body language fairly rapidly, which is very exciting. It shows how much control you have over these encounters. You know, lots of these things that we feel like are intuition or just pure luck or, you know, that happy accident when you click with a complete stranger and by the end of the conversation you feel like they're a friend for life. There are little tools that actually make things flow a lot better, and they're not necessarily being articulate. You know, listening in an active way is another extremely important thing. I mean, touched on it earlier, but you don't need to just sit back and nod. You can't assume that someone knows you're listening. If you actually show that you're listening and you smile and make supportive comments and ask questions and even, dare I suggest it, interrupt every so often, you'll make the conversation flow in a more harmonious way, and you have your hand on the steering controls.
Right.
I mean, I give an example of the book of a conversation I have with a guy who is desperately keen to let me know that he had lots of money, I think. So he told me about his weakness for fast Italian cars. Unfortunately, I don't drive and I'm not interested in cars. And so I rather lazily just sat there and kind of went, oh, really? Oh, right. Oh, gosh. And this just went on and on. And I shut down and I got rather bored. But that was laziness on my part. If I just use my reactions to spotlight the bits of his conversation that could have led to a more interesting direction, if I'd said, oh, really, where can you drive that fast? Oh, yes, I love the countryside. I could have pushed things in an altogether more interesting way. I mean, it's just an example of the many discrete ways in which conversation is an active, creative, fun act, and nobody should walk into a situation feeling like they are the one who's being victimized. I mean, if your boyfriend says that you're monologuing, maybe he should, you know, intervene a bit more.
That's true.
It's always
so he's being pretty passive.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. So he's being pretty passive. I mean, he's not like really trying to contribute to the conversation. I mean, is it possible that she overwhelms the conversation so much that he feels intimidated?
He's just very soft-spoken and more patient.
If he was intimidated, he wouldn't be able to say that to her, would he? No,
right.
I think it's just an excuse myself.
Oh.
I think he's teasing. He's getting a guilt trip out of you because he wants something else. That's my read.
Uh-oh. Daniel, if you're listening.
Well, this is fascinating. I mean, the book is a lot of fun. And, I mean, I could talk about this till tomorrow at least. I did want to ask you, so...
We do talk for a living, Sam.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I did want to ask you, there are ways to control a conversation, right? Like, I often thought, you know, some people like constantly ask you questions. And when you ask the questions, I think you're pretty much in control of the conversation. Is that correct?
I think so. I mean, there's a world of difference between feeling like you're being interrogated by someone, which can actually make you quite self-conscious, which I don't think is a brilliant technique for conversation, because for me, fundamentally, you know, it's about building relationships, big and small. So if you want to make that connection, you want to find common ground and put people at ease. As soon as you make someone feel like they're on the spot, they're going to feel self-conscious,
right,
and they'll feel victimized, and, you know, it's less likely to flow in a happy way. So I think a great way of tacking questions onto conversation and open things up without pushing people is to, you know, make observations and try and stitch different potential topics into each sentence. I mean, there's a, for example, you might say, this cheese is nice, which is kind of a boring observation. Or you might say, aren't these canapés delicious? Oh, I love chocolate. Can you believe it's a health food? And you've sort of, just by adding a few more words, there are three different potential threads for that person to build on. So I think just, you know, a little awareness, a little thought of how you can sort of make your sentences lively and interesting and sort of give people something to grab onto will just bring you a bit closer. It's a knack of focusing people's attention, but it doesn't have to be a sinister, controlling thing. For me, it's a generous act. I mean, I feel good just, you know, by, instead of going into a shop and buying myself a cafe latte, if I go in and have a conversation with that person, I know that he'll feel better and I'll feel better too. It makes life more enjoyable.
Absolutely.
And makes you more ready for the difficult conversations that come at office when you arrive.
Right. And
you've got to flex those muscles.
Yes, absolutely. You have to practice, I think, just like anything else, you know. Now, briefly about your background. How did you come to write a book like this?
Well, I suppose you can tell that I quite like talking, but I know that I could do better and I wanted to improve. Really, it came out of a conversation with my agent. We were sitting there one day and thinking, just trading observations about how lazy people seem to be. You know, in the media industry, of all places, you'd think that everyone treasured communication and words, but increasingly it seemed to be that, you know, you go to a function, a celebration, and people would sit there waiting to be entertained in a rather passive way. So that got me thinking about conversation and what makes the art of conversation as opposed to talking and presenting skills. And then I had a kind of luminous moment one day. I was on the train and I was sitting there and I was by myself in a carriage, and there was a young Muslim guy across the carriage. This is recently after some terrorist bombings, and he started chanting to himself, and he seemed to be behaving oddly in that he had no luggage, but he had lots of fluid sloshing away at his feet. And I suddenly got into this paranoid train of thought, which was then embarrassing because I knew there was nothing wrong with this guy. He's just a young guy going about his business. But as soon as you start feeling aware and nervous and fearful, you start transmitting that. And I thought, for goodness sake, this is ridiculous. And so I struck up a conversation. I asked about his prayer and we had a wonderful encounter. And it just showed me that, you know, I thought of it, oh, I've got a cloak of invisibility because I'm researching conversation, so I can talk to this stranger. And then I thought, well, how ridiculous.
Yes.
I should talk to strangers. It makes my life better. And, you know, the more I read into it, the more I realized that conversation is at the core of what makes human beings the best they can be. You know, there's...
Right.
I mean, just the simple act of making small talk with a stranger is valuable. They may be the person who knows that person with the job.
They may know
your future love of your life.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you came on our show. Because I'm very friendly and I talk to strangers all the time.
Susie talks to everybody.
And, you know, it all starts with a hello and a smile. And I meet everyone in the world and I travel around the world just like relying on the kindness of strangers. And Sam is constantly telling me that I shouldn't be doing this.
Well, no, you're going a little overboard, but no.
I can hear the happiness in your voice, but you understand the simple thing that every person you meet is a portal to another world.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, the book itself is meant to be a fun read. It's a celebration. And for me, what, you know, the great excuse of it, of course, is all the funny stories you can tell about the people, you know, throughout time, the different devious things that, you know, Elizabeth I did to shut up her courtiers, because all these techniques, whatever language and whatever culture they were used in, can be applied to our lives. So it's, you know, it's a way of, I suppose, understanding better how we human creatures operate. And it's worth paying attention to, because whereas, you know, you obviously have got the passion to make conversation, but many people are growing up in fragmented households where, you know, you don't sit down and have the family meal. You know, there are four televisions in the house. People are doing fewer things together. We've focused so much on how we spend our time, but less on how we share it. And in fact, without practice and experience, we lose our intuition. If you don't actually meet someone, you don't get the chance to see the smile twitching the corner of their mouth. You're not going to become friends with them. Your life will be poorer as a result. So that you know, there are lots of things there. I won't shut up, will I? I'll let you two get a word in edgeways now.
That's all right. I just wanted to say one other thing. I saw on your back cover it says that you're married to a mischievous gossiper or a gossip columnist.
Oh, now you blame my cover. Liking me. It's true. Well, that was a classic office romance. We sat opposite each other, and for a gossip columnist, he was very mysterious in that he did seem to speak very quietly, which of course makes you stand rather closer to hear what he's saying.
Ah,
it's an excellent seduction technique.
Sneaky.
But yes, he's extremely cheeky, but it's definitely made it, I suppose, made me more conscious of how you have to ensure that people don't feel worried that you're going to spread rumours and so on.
Mm.
And he's extremely good at dodging difficult questions.
He's an expert. Huh? Well,
challenging company.
Yeah. Well, Catherine Blythe, it's been a pleasure. You're in London, and your book is The Art of Conversation, A Guided Tour of a Neglected Pleasure. And do you have a website that we should go to, or should we just look up
yes,
the book?
Oh, yes, please.
Yes.
I'd love it if people would share their thoughts with me, their dilemmas or their funny stories about conversation at my website, which is katherineblythe.com, and it's Catherine with a C, and it's B-L-Y-T-H.
Wonderful. And we're definitely going to place a link on our website for your website. And I imagine you can get this at all bookstores?
Yes. I've been reliably informed that it's everywhere from Barnes & Noble and Borders, Amazon, and all the other fantastic outlets out there. So,
wonderful.
Well, yes, I hope I can get America talking. We've got to wage war on shyness.
There you go. Well, congratulations on the book, and all the best. And thank you so much for being kind to us and taking the time. It's been fascinating.
Thank you.
Bye, Catherine.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Whoops. Okay. I always try to get them like right after they say goodbye. But, you know, because on radio, you're not supposed to say hi, how are you, you know, goodbye, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we try to be nice.
I love English accents. I can just listen to them all day and night. She sounded like my baby.
I know. Americans are like that. You know, we're in awe of that accent, you know. It's like they sound so aristocratic.
It's just gorgeous. It is. It really is.
I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But remember when we were talking to that linguist, the cunning one, that was telling us about how actually American accent came before English accent, or the way we speak now, you know, it was later that... Susie, that's disgusting, okay? She's fucking clipping her fingernails right here on the table.
I have one hangnail, and I'm going to put the nails in the trash. Look, hold on.
That is disgusting, Susie. Okay, we don't want pieces of your body on the table here.
Right. I just put them in the trash.
Okay. I think we need to spank her a little bit. Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
Olympic gold medalist Michael Phelps blazes through the pool and really smokes his competition. But the chlorine water can leave his eyes red and irritated. That's why Michael Phelps uses Clear Eyes. Michael also likes to blaze up something else that smokes, and it too gives him bloodshot eyes. So he needs Clear Eyes.
Hey, Ben, you want some?
Would I? This is awesome. For dry, red, bong-hit eyes, the difference is Clear Eyes.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
They say but now it's much too late.
My name is Rachel, and my telephone number is... I wanted to tell you that you're evil, horrible people. You're awful people. You represent horrible ideas. God hates you, and he wants to kill your children. You should all burn in hell. Bye.
Indeed. You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Hello.
Sam and Susie is still alive and well on Monday.
Yes.
And you've got four more shows for those of you who love Susie so much. And
all of this could fall to shit and I could be here for another like 5 months.
Yeah.
What?
And what am I supposed to do, Susie?
Well, I thought I would try and at least be, you know, respectful and give people like 2 weeks notice of like my departure,
right?
If it's going to happen. But like at this point, like there's nothing else that I could do on my end. It's all right. Like paperwork,
right?
So,
but you know, people are making plans, you know, around the fact that you're going to leave and stuff. I mean, I'd love you to stay, but I need to know.
I know. I'm trying to let you know, let everyone know as soon as possible. Trust me, I don't like to be in limbo as much as like anyone else,
right?
But yeah, so I just told you on our break that I just checked my voicemail, and so I've decided I'm no longer going to sell my car because this market, it's total shit in the stupid economy.
Yeah.
And first of all, I love my car.
Yeah.
I love my car. Aside from leaving my friends and my loved ones in LA, leaving my car is probably going to be like one of the hardest things.
I know. People get attached to their cars.
I know. And that it's such a great car. I mean, I haven't had no problems with it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I run it into the ground and it just still keeps coming back for me every day. You know? I mean, it's like my little, I don't know, she's my baby. Her name's Holly Golightly.
You name everything, huh?
Of course.
Yeah.
But so my car's name is Holly Golightly.
Does your vagina have a name?
You know what? No.
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 Because I think some women name them, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
People
name everything.
Actually, you know what? My friend Evan, who was here the other day, he had me listening to the B.B. King song yesterday while I was making breakfast. And I couldn't believe it because, like, you're listening to this beautiful, like, soul song and you're just kind of, like, you're rocking into it. And you kind of hear the words, but you don't really hear the words. And he was like, no, Susie, you need to hear the words.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay. So I stopped what I was doing. You know, I'm poaching my eggs or whatever. And I try and hear the words. And he was like, I got a sweet little angel. I love the way she spreads her wings. And I was like, whoa. I was like, that is just downright naughty.
Why? That's because you heard it in that way.
Well, no, it is.
Spread
her wings?
Yeah. It's not. He didn't say spread her lips.
Yeah, but like, think about a vagina. Like, those could be wings in there.
Yeah, but how do you know he was talking about a vagina?
Because it evolved from there. Or devolved. I don't know which. But he was talking about her vagina. And
really?
You should have heard the women in the audience. They were going, wow, ow! They're like, yeah. And they were just freaking out. And I was like,
really?
Whoa. Like, I instantly got a little bit wet. I was like, oh, my God.
And that's B.B. King?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. I couldn't fucking believe it. But so anyway, so I've decided I'm shipping my car to Australia if I get my visa in time.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that because I'm going to pack it full of, like, all my clothes and all of my loved possessions. And for $1,800, I found a shipping company that will ship it.
Really?
Yep.
$1,800.
That's not bad at all.
That's not a lot.
I know. Yeah. And then I can keep my car. I won't have to deal with the hassle of getting a new one when I get over there.
Yeah. What about gasoline? I mean, do they have the same stuff we have here?
Yes.
You know, because you have like unleaded and shit, you know?
You have the same gasoline.
Really? No, really. I mean, you know, some countries I don't think can handle or provide unleaded gasoline at all.
I do believe they have unleaded gasoline. Yeah. I was using it for my rent.
Because it's about pollution, you know.
I was using it for my rental cars over there.
Yeah.
They're not that like pro-environment over in Australia, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Actually, up in Port Douglas, where I'm going to be living, well, in Cairns, but in Port Douglas, they don't recycle at all.
Really?
Nothing. Mm. Nothing.
Yeah. Tell me something. What about the fires in Australia? Is that anywhere near where you're going to be? It's like southeast, they said.
I'm going to be way, way, way northeast.
Oh, you're more in the north.
I'm in the tropics.
Really?
I'm in a rainforest.
Oh.
I will be, hopefully, in a rainforest.
Yeah. So are you on the eastern coast?
Yes.
The eastern, like, but it's not northeast,
it's
right?
It's way northeast.
It is northeast.
Yes.
Okay.
Almost as far northeast as you can get.
Oh.
So, but yeah, apparently I was like just looking at the news before and it said those fires were set purposely.
Yes, an arson.
Who would fucking do that?
I don't know, but a lot of people died.
Didn't like a whole town burn down?
Something like that, yeah.
I didn't actually get to read.
Burning in the wild mostly, but yeah, there were some people. So the prime minister is calling it mass murder.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. People that can actually get to the root of arson never cease to amaze me. I mean, how can they figure that out? Everything's been burned.
Yeah, but you know what? They're such experts in fire. They know everything about
fire,
you know?
Fire.
Yeah.
From Beavis and Butthead.
Did you ever see the movie Backdraft?
No.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to learn about fire, that's the movie to see.
Backdraft?
You know? Yeah.
I'll put it in my
journal
of things to see.
Kurt Russell and Billy Baldwin, I think.
Kurt Russell, I love in Overboard. Was he in...
Overboard. That's an old movie.
Yeah, with Goldie
Hawn.
Such a great movie.
I think that's where they met, isn't it?
I think
probably
so, too.
On the set, yeah.
That is just the funniest fucking movie of all time.
Yeah.
Like, duping this stupid, rich, snotty bitch into thinking that she's got, like, 10 kids, and she lives in a slum. And then, like, when he comes out, he, like, went to the Goodwill and bought her all these, like, ratty, ratty, ratty old dresses that were, like, 200 pounds, like, too big for her. And she's like, I used to wear this. And he's like, well, Cupcake, you know, you used to be... a bigger lady. And she like puts she does the peanut butter and jelly and puts the M&Ms in the middle of the sandwich because she's never made a sandwich before in her life.
M&Ms?
Yeah.
What would that be like?
Probably not
peanut
very
butter
good.
And, why?
I don't know.
It'd be pretty cool. Just like Reese's or something, you know? But different chocolate.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe.
Yeah.
But imagine the surprise when your kid goes to bite into the sandwich. She's got M&Ms in the middle. It's like, woo.
Yeah. Do you like chocolate?
You know what? I'm not a big dessert person.
Really?
I really, like, sometimes if I get, like, stoned or something, like, I'll eat a freaking shitload of chocolate.
Right.
But for the most part, when I go out with my sister, she's like, ooh, you've got to save room for dessert. And I was like, no, I've got to save room for appetizers, then my entree, and then wine. I have no room for dessert. I like to drink my calories. I'm not going to fucking waste it on, like, chocolate cake.
I know. Well, chocolate cake is not that great, but I like chocolate, you know, like solid chocolate. You know, like
we don't
Reese's
have good chocolate here.
No, not it's too sweet. Everything here is too sweet. You know,
yeah.
You go to Europe and they have that what's it called? Berry something, something berry. But
it doesn't have like the wax or anything in it. It's so amazing. My ex-boyfriend James in England used to actually send me over like English chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love getting care packages from him.
Oh.
But speaking of movies, I saw a movie last night.
Which one?
The Wrestler.
The rest, with Mickey Rourke.
I still don't know who he is, even after I saw the movie.
Yeah.
What has he been in?
Well, you know what? He looks really weird now. I saw pictures of him. I didn't see the movie. But he looks so fucking weird. He doesn't look anything like he used to. But, I mean, you know, we were talking about this. This guy was, like, extremely hot. I mean, if you like hot actors, okay?
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
You should see some of his older movies. I'm telling you, like 9.5 weeks, you have to see that movie.
Okay.
With him and Kim Basinger. It's a very sexual movie.
Actually, you know what? Maybe, is there a movie store around here? I haven't been to a movie store, like, I don't think ever. But maybe I'll go get, I have two movies
I
want to see.
Yeah, there's Blockbuster right down here.
I want to see that, because everyone keeps telling me to. And also, The Secretary.
I don't know what that one is about.
My Australian boyfriend, Daniel, told me to get that. Apparently, it's like this really, really, really hot sexual, like, S&M movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
So I can get into that.
Yeah.
Go home and tie myself up and watch a movie. But The Wrestler, oh my God, what a depressing flick.
Really?
Seriously, serious buzzkill.
So you didn't like it?
No, I loved it.
Oh, okay, but it was just depressing.
Oh my God, yes. It was just, it kind of reminded me, like, in the sadness of, like, how desperate people become sometimes and just how they cling to things and... Oh, my God. I don't know. And how, like, people just go into habit and they only know, like, one way in life. And, My God. It was seriously just so sad.
Yeah.
So, so sad.
But you liked it.
Yeah. And I'm not, I hate wrestling.
Yeah.
I think wrestling, like, oh my, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys wearing tights and leotards and, like, just staging these things.
Yeah. So that was like the fake wrestling, not the real sports wrestling, right?
Well, this was, you know, it seemed pretty hardcore. I mean, the way these guys would train and they would do steroids and...
No, they do, but it's not real, you know? I mean, it's more for entertainment.
It is more for entertainment, but, like, they still seriously abuse their bodies. Like, yeah. At one point, Mickey Rourke's character, you know, he was meeting, like, a pregame show kind of before he went out and wrestled this guy. And the guy was like, so, like, how do you feel about staple guns? And the guy's like, or Mickey Rourke's like, what? And he's like, you know, staple guns. Have you ever done a scene with staple guns? And he was like, no. And so then, like, the guy, like, oh, my God, I couldn't even watch some of the scenes. Like, when he's having, like, the staples, like, removed from his body, and there's just blood everywhere.
Really?
And then Mickey Rourke, like, taped on his arms where they were taped a razor at one point. That way he can, like, look like he was all beat up and bloody. And at one point when he was down, he took the razor out and he, like, cut his face.
Wow.
So he would have, like, a head wound that would bleed a lot. And
really?
Yeah. But it's just like, really? Oh, God.
Whoa.
Just so, so, so sad. But he, for whoever he is, considering I don't know who he is,
yeah.
He was just amazing in the role.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Oh,
he's
man.
He's definitely a good actor.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but so after that, I had to have a drink. So Evan and I decided we were going to go to Jones in Santa Monica, or on Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been there?
No.
It is a wonderful, wonderful place. But apparently all the bartenders have herpes. So.
how do you know that?
Because I know people that know all the bartenders.
Really?
Yes.
Then why the fuck would you go there? I mean, I don't want someone with herpes making my drinks.
Well, you watch bartenders and you make sure they have their hands clean and you know,
yeah, right.
And besides, right. Like 80% of the population has herpes anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Again, I am statistically like it's a statistical miracle that I do not. I've never even had a cold sore, like nothing. But yeah, apparently everyone has it.
Wow.
It's just like infiltrated our. You know, our disgusting little incestuous network of people. Yuck. And also, this is interesting. 1 in 4 people in Peru have HIV.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So my sister's like, no glove, no love.
No, that's scary.
I'm like, I'm not giving anyone love. I don't want HIV. Yeah. Like the HIV, that's nasty. That would suck. What a damper, like on your, what a way to rain on your parade.
I know.
Oh, man.
That'll teach you from going to third world countries, you know? I mean, shit, you know? I don't see the desire in that at all. I mean, yes, you went and saw some beautiful places, but getting there, you know? It's just like with Jamaica, you know? My first marriage, we went on our honeymoon to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. But the poverty you have to drive through in order to get there.
It's so depressing.
And yeah, you know? I mean, it really is. It really is. So why would you want to go there for a vacation? You know, it's just not...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, so speaking of... potentially moving and going on vacations. Daniel tells me yesterday, or last night, he's like, so, baby, I just want to let you know I've got a meeting on Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. Uh-huh. A week from tomorrow. With the visa person. He might be getting fucking deported.
Whoa.
How fucked up is that? He's like, so I was wondering if you could delay your plane by, like, just a couple of days.
Yeah.
I'm like... Dude, don't fucking tell me you're getting deported like the day, like 2 days after I get there.
Yeah.
It's like, how funny would that be?
Yeah.
I mean, not really.
Okay, so now this begs the question, Susie.
Would I still go?
Would you still go?
I'm still going.
I don't believe
I'm
it
still
for one
going.
Fucking minute.
If I get my visa and everything in line as soon as I possibly can, I am going.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Just because you don't want to apologize to everyone for leading them on.
Fuck off. But how funny would that
be? You would
be?
Just do that.
Seriously, I get over there and they're like, yep, you're going to be deported.
Yeah. You're coming back.
That would be fucked.
You'll have yourself the vacation you wanted, blah, 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 and you'll come back.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Are you ever coming back to the States?
I don't know.
You haven't thought about it yet?
I've thought about teaching long term in Australia.
Yeah.
But I kind of like it there. I kind of like it a lot.
Do you?
I'm thinking ideally. I mean, this is in an ideal situation.
Right.
I would have an apartment in New York, a house in L.A., live in Australia, and just be able to kind of float.
Sounds cool.
And maybe like a vineyard somewhere.
You know, my dream is to live for 6 months in different places, you know?
You've told me that before.
Yeah, I would love that, you know, because it's just, I mean, life is so short to live in one place all your life, you know?
Mm.
And I've moved around a lot also, you know, but not in the past, you know, 30 years.
You really look like your son.
Do I?
Or your son looks like you.
Yeah. He's starting to, huh?
Like, looking at you right now?
I mean, he doesn't look anything like... You know, we looked at pictures from, like, we had a party, a radio party, like, 3 months after we started.
Yeah.
And he still looks like a little boy, you know?
But I'm looking at you right now, and, like, you guys just really, really look alike.
Really?
Really look alike.
Well, that's good.
Oh, it's really good.
I love him to death, this kid.
So it was really funny when I came in here. He seriously still to this day does not know what to do with me or what to make of me. He's like, "What are you?"
Yeah.
He's like, "I just don't understand."
I think a lot of people are like that.
But it's really cute coming from like a 14-year-old. Is he 14 or 15?
15 and a half already.
15
yeah.
and a half. Oh, yeah. But you know, coming from like a young like kid's eyes, like this fresh perspective, and he was saying, "Oh yeah, like you don't know what I'd like to do to that girl from the satellite radio, the Playboy satellite radio." And I'm like, "Fuck you!" I was like, "You would be home in your little freaking like in your pajamas with your like cup of milk on the side of the bed reading a bedtime story." It's like you would not do anything to her. But so then Evan and I are. So Evan and I walk in here. So I can get a cup of coffee. And he and Dr. Michelle's son were sitting here at this computer, and they were going through my dirty Facebook photos.
Really?
And I totally turned around. Everyone was like, "Susie, look what they're looking at." I turned around. I was like, I knock on the window. His face turned so red.
Really?
I was like, "Hi, Sean.
Teen boys. What are you going to do, Susie?"
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just cute when you see that.
Now, do you think it's weird that he said that about the porn star? I mean, or is that something that you would expect a 15-year-old to say?
Oh, that's totally something you would expect me to say. Absolutely.
Okay, so like, it's not like weird.
No. Okay. Like,
because I don't want him to treat women as objects and shit, you know?
Well, she works for Playboy. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
What else are you supposed to treat her as?
That's true, huh?
I mean, seriously. No, it's not weird at all. Are you kidding me? I told you about the conversations I had with the other two boys I nannied for back in Massachusetts when I went back in September or whatever. Right. And they're like, "Oh, dude, he's got a chode. You know, your boyfriend's got a chode." And I'm like, "A chode? Do you remember that?"
Yeah.
A fucking chode. And they're like, "You know, how big is his cock? And what do you want?" And I'm just like, "You guys are like 12 years old." Like, really? And I was like, "But I guess it does make sense. I was your nanny." So...
You've corrupted families.
And speaking of nannying, I had my little boy Ethan the other day, or actually just yesterday. And so I brought my camera so I could take some pictures of the kids, just so I can have, you know, have pictures of them with me. And little Ethan's like, "Doozy, give me your camera, Doozy." And I'm like, "Okay." So I give him my camera and he starts trying to take pictures. Like, he took 6 pictures of seriously just, like, perfectly angled of my tits. I was wearing these little suspenders that were kind of pushing my breasts slightly together in my little white wife beater. And so, like, my nipples were coming through, and the suspenders were hugging my tits together. And he's got these, like, 5 awesome photos of just my tits. At three. Like, he had no idea what he was trying to take a picture of. You know, he was trying to get a picture of my face, but that's just where the camera was held because he's so small. And I go back to look through the pictures, and I'm like, really? Like, it's starting already? I'm like, this is great.
Really?
Just great. Oh, goodness.
I'm telling you, we're born with that, you know? What are you going to do?
Oh, it's so funny. And then we're sitting on the couch, and I'm like, you know, not nursing, but you know what I mean, feeding him a bottle. And he just pulls his penis out of his little pants, and he's like, "Doozy, it's like, look, I got my pee-pee." And I'm like, "Yes, you do. Put it back in your pants." I'm like, "There's a time and a place for that, and it's in the bathroom." But he's just, like, so uninhibited and just so, like, free and natural. And it's just, like, there's nothing, like, more refreshing than just, I don't know, just refreshing, like, small children.
It's really, it's like that.
It really is great.
You know, it's like we've got a new baby in the family now, and it's just he's so innocent. You know,
have you met Millie yet?
No, not Millie. No,
oh.
No, I'm not talking about
that
her.
Family.
My sister-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Had a baby also, a girl.
Oh, congratulations!
About a month ago. Thank you.
Wait, your brother's baby?
No, my sister's sister. I mean, I don't have a sister. My
your
wife's sister.
Sister's sister. Okay.
Yeah, my wife's sister had a baby.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I still want to meet little Millie.
Yeah.
TJ, if you're listening, WTF, we need your baby to come in now.
Yeah, I talked to him last night, and they're extremely happy and everything. By the way, for TJ fans, he's going to be back live on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
So, yeah.
He's taking paternity leave.
Yeah. You can't blame him, though.
No,
you know?
Of course
I mean, what
not.
The hell, you know?
Oh.
But I'm sure he's going to have so much to talk about now, you know?
Oh,
I mean,
seriously.
You know, they've worked hard for this baby, Susie. I mean, they've had miscarriage, and then they were, they had to, they were doing these fertility things. I mean, they'd have to go and bang, you know, like a few times a day.
Well, I'm sure that's not too bad for TJ.
No, I'm sure. But you know what, Susie, when you think about it, all the people that have had to go through this will tell you it's not pleasurable when you have to do it on command, you know? It's like, oh, man, it's 12 o'clock. We better go and do it, you know?
Aww.
So, yeah, it's not like that.
I wonder if he
like
put a
that.
Pillow under her butt.
I don't know. But apparently it didn't work for you.
God damn it. Thank God. Seriously, imagine I was pregnant and like I finally make it to Australia and then he gets deported.
Yeah. I know. That would be like...
That would just be a nightmare.
That would be.
Oh my God.
A Greek tragedy.
Seriously. Shit, man. So I went on this bike ride on Saturday night. It actually ended up kicking my ass because we did like this seriously like hardcore ride, but it was called the Rogue Ride, and it was a ride through all of the most affluent neighborhoods in Los Angeles with the most expensive zip codes and through country clubs.
Really?
And so we all donned.
That's interesting.
So we all donned our very snotty attire. I wore my navy blue Brooks Brothers blazer with gold buttons.
Really?
And a nice Hermes like kerchief and a white button down shirt. And spandex with my Argyle socks and my hat from the Beverly Hills Hotel. And so everyone was just like dressed to the nines in their snotty, snotty attire. And I had a flask in my pocket with a couple of bottles of wine in the back that I kept filling into my flask. And we just got stoned and drunk and rode our bikes all over Los Angeles, like just terrorizing all the rich people.
You probably
people.
Looked like those Japanese schoolgirls on bicycle with the blazers on.
Well,
you
it's
know?
Not all girls. It's like, it's.
Yeah,
you know,
no, but you were the one who wore the blazer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there were a lot of blazers there.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we looked hysterical, absolutely hysterical. And we're like blaring like loud music like through all hours of the nights, like through these neighborhoods. And people are coming out in like their blazers and their camel hair coats. They're like, what is this racket?
So what were some of those zip codes? Where were they? Beverly Hills?
Beverly Hills and Bel Air. And yes, yes. Actually, we went through my neighborhood.
Ah.
I was like, this is really funny. I'm terrorizing my own neighborhood. You know what I mean? It was actually, the funny thing was that the clothes that I was wearing for this ride are clothes that I used to wear all the time when I lived in Boston and New York. Like, yeah. I've got an entire, like, separate wardrobe of just, like, snotty, like, Brooks Brothers, like, country club attire for when I would go to the country club and go to the yacht clubs and things like that. But so I've really had no use for it out here. I mean, people would look at me like I was a freak if I wore, you know, all these different things around here. And my friends, especially, oh, my God, they would ridicule me to no end.
Yeah.
But so these were actually clothes that I owned. Everyone else had to go to like Goodwill
and
get these clothes.
Especially for the ride.
Yes. But actually, speaking of that, so...
Do you have a lot of clothes?
Yeah.
Do you own a lot? What about shoes? Yeah. See, that's women for
I was
you,
actually
man.
Thinking...
I don't know the fascination with shoes.
I actually
what
don't even
it?
Wear that many shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got so many shoes.
Yeah, but you don't wear them.
I'll wear them maybe... Like, I have shoes that I haven't... Like, I've worn once. But I can't throw them away because they're worth like $2,000.
Wow.
You know, I've got this pair...
So why wouldn't you wear them again?
I will wear them again if the occasion arises.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
To buy $2,000 shoes just for one occasion.
I looked really good.
Or an occasional occasion.
That's when I met the astronaut.
You met an astronaut?
Yes.
We never heard of that one
before. Yes, we
did.
Lance Armstrong. No, what the fuck? Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Lightyear. Whatever his fucking name is. Why? God damn it. I really can't remember this. Save my freaking life.
Oh, okay. So that astronaut. Okay.
I had to be dressed to the nines for that. And that was the day I renounced materialism. And I tried to take off my dress, and I was topless at the Waldorf Astoria in the lobby, wearing only the $2,000 shoes and a diamond necklace with the dress
You were
stuck
not
in.
Fucking topless.
I was completely topless.
You're topless in the hotel lobby?
At the Waldorf
when
Astoria.
Was
I renounced materialism. That was the night I met the astronauts and everyone. And I decided to get drunk. And basically, Michael and my girlfriend Anna decided they were going to try and have an intervention. So they went outside to talk about the intervention at this bar.
Uh-huh.
And I went up to the bar. And I, like, start ordering shots of vodka that I'm just, like, throwing back.
Uh-huh.
And so then I start getting in a fight, and I tell my friend that, you know, my love is not for sale. You can't buy my love. I'm renouncing materialism. And they pretty much, like, throw me over, firemen carry me to a cab. and bring me back to the hotel. So, and this is where Paris Hilton grew up, keep in mind. So the people that work there have no problem with these issues happening. But so I decide to throw an even bigger fit as soon as, like, I get put down in the lobby of the hotel. And I get this, like, $2,000 Armani dress, and I rip it up over myself. And I'm only wearing a black thong and the $2,000 shoes. My Jimmy Choo's, actually. And, like, this ridiculous diamond necklace. But the dress gets stuck on my shoulder blades because I didn't undo the zipper. So now I'm, like, completely, like, topless, just wearing the thong and the shoes, with the dress stuck over my head. Whoa. And so Michael and Anna come over, and they're like, Susie, stop. And they try and pull the dress back over my head, but it's still stuck. Uh-huh. So I do, like, a very childish move. I drop to the ground, and I make myself dead weight. So now I'm writhing on the floor of the hotel lobby. You know, just, like, seriously, it looks like I'm probably having a seizure trying to get the dress off my head. I don't know what I was going to do. Like, had I gotten the dress off my head? Was I going to, like, run down the street, like, just in my thong and my Jimmy Choo's?
Yeah.
But so I don't remember what happened.
But
I guess
you still think drinking is okay for you.
Oh man, I was drunk for like 2 days after that.
Yeah,
like the alcohol did not leave my system for like 2 days.
Yeah.
But I woke up the next day like on the couch in the hotel, and I was like, "What happened last night?" And they both, Anna and Michael, were sitting there staring at me, and they're like, "You don't remember?" And I was like, "No, what, did I have fun?" I knew I was in trouble, but I didn't know like why I was in trouble.
Yeah,
that's the worst. Oh my goodness.
Oh boy, Susie. Let's take another short break, and we'll be back right after this.
It's time for your monthly unemployment numbers, brought to you by the Department of Labor. 10 balls numbered 0 through 9 are being mixed in each of the three chambers, and our first number is a 7. The second, a 6. And the third number is 0, 0. This month's unemployment number is 7.60. Don't forget to pick up those lottery tickets. After all, what do you got to lose? Your job? Have a good one, everybody.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
So we've been trying to get Lisa laid for a really long time, Sam, like 3 years.
Right.
So the Argentinian Johnny Depp lookalike guy, you know, he grabs her very aggressively, you know, and she was kind of consenting just by the way she was dancing and by what she was wearing and the way she moved. But he fucking grabs her, Sam. He, first thing, like 5 minutes into knowing her, he sticks his finger up her ass.
Really?
At the club on the dance floor.
Not her ass.
It was, and then he took his finger out and he smelled it.
What? How did he get to her ass so quickly and easily?
She was wearing a dress, and he just grabbed her and he shoved it right in there, like he was testing her oil.
Through a dress, though.
Underneath the dress.
Underneath the dress?
Underneath the dress.
Wow, what did she do? What did she do? I mean, she must have jumped. No, really. I mean, fuck, you know?
Finger up
your ass out of nowhere.
How shocking. Like, imagine you're just like, you're dancing, you're drunk, you're having a good time, and all of a sudden, whoop! I was like, well, did he lick it first? You know, did he, like, lube it up? You know, or, I mean, that's just like, that's just raw, rough, you know, shockage.
Yeah. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back.
We're back with fingers in the ass.
Every time I hear that, it just makes me crack up laughing. You have no idea
That's a story, man.
Oh, my God. You should have like said something to her at the party on Saturday when I brought her in.
About this, huh? I should have.
Oh, my God.
She's crazy. She's wild.
She totally is.
I mean, every picture we took of her, she's got some pose. You know, the leg in the air and shit. You know.
She's just like me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So let's make that phone call.
You want to make a phone call?
Yeah.
Okay, who are we calling?
We're calling Michael.
Okay, we call Michael. This is Susie's friend.
My best friend.
Your best friend?
Yes.
You have a lot of best friends, don't you?
I can count them on one hand.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, you talk to him when he answers.
I will.
Okay. Because he's not going to remember me. Maybe.
Yes, he will.
Yeah?
He's going to kill me.
I know. The shit you put him through.
Hello?
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
This is Sam and Susie in the Morning at LA Talk Radio.
She decided to surprise you once again.
Again? No, I'm not on the air again, are we?
Maybe.
I was at the bar.
You're at the bar. Are you having a drink?
No, I'm having a nice coffee, talking to some regular customers that come every day for lunch and sit at the bar.
Oh. Yeah.
Michael, the reason we called you is I was asking Susie, what is Michael thinking of you leaving? So I was wondering, you know, what's your opinion about this? I mean, you know Susie very well. Do you think it's a wise decision what she's doing?
Well, I wasn't really too much for it, but I did take the money and bought a new car.
Mm-hmm.
What money?
That she would have spent.
Hey! Wait. What, did you just buy a new car?
A new car.
Did you really get a new car, you asshole?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, good.
I'm buying a new antique car, yeah, but that's just something else.
Minor detail. Just $500,000, yes.
So she went to Australia, and she was there. She met this guy, and now she wants to go there, but she does say that she's going there for school. So I was wondering, what do you think about all this, Michael?
No, I think it's all right. I just didn't want her to go there just if she didn't know somebody. And I hope she has this guy there, which would be nice. You know, mm-hmm. She has somebody to be with. But to go by yourself and just move there is foolish. But when she has somebody there, I think it's okay. But, you know, you never know with her, Sam. She could be back in 5 months.
Yeah, you think she would be back because she says she won't?
Yeah, no. Keep your...
What's so funny?
Keep an open slot in one of your stations.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. So, Michael, I just told the story about the time that I renounced materialism at the Waldorf, and I tried to get the dress off my head.
I remember. Yeah. And she fell down in between the revolving doors in New York. In between. And the door's going around. She's on the floor. Thing swept her out. It swept her out to the street. Came back in the door, fell on the marble floor, walked up the stairs and started playing the piano that was there. It must have been 3 o'clock in the morning, don't you think?
You were the one that should remember. You were sober. I was definitely a little buzzed.
God. I mean, were you?
We were at the, what's the name of that club we went to?
I don't remember.
Explorers
Club.
Explorers.
Yes, that's where.
What was it again?
The Explorers Club. That's where we met Buzz Lightyear.
She means Buzz Aldrin.
Or Lance Armstrong.
I don't know if you joke.
Buzz Aldrin there?
Yeah, all the astronauts and everything.
Michael, do you sometimes get embarrassed being around her, or is that everything she does is okay with you?
Everything she does is fine. No, I don't get embarrassed. She doesn't do anything that's embarrassing.
Thank you.
Excuse me. What you just described is very embarrassing.
Yeah, well, nobody was there around.
Oh, I see.
And you're in New York, and, you know, those things go on in New York.
The very first time I went on a date with Michael, I peed in a cup in his car. I was like, pull over. I was like, I have to pee. Like, the very first night we're on a date, and he's like, what do you mean you have to pee? And I was like, I have to fucking pee. And he's like, what? Keep in mind, he's like 60 at the time, and I'm like 20. And he's just like, you can't pee right here. And I was like, well, give me that fucking coffee cup. I like dump the rest of the coffee out. I pull my pants down, and I just piss in the car.
Wow. You're lucky you didn't run into a tree or something.
I know.
He did try and sneak a peek. I'll give him that.
Well, you know, I would.
Yeah.
It's very unusual, Susan.
There were no gas stations around.
No.
We were only like a mile from your house, too. That's the even funnier part. You would think I could have held it, but apparently not.
So you give it, Susie.
No, I think it'll be fine in Australia.
So you give it her your blessing.
What is the nearest big city? So where are you going?
Brisbane.
Oh, near Brisbane.
Yes. And I'd have Cliff and Heather in Brisbane, and I've got Cliff in Brisbane and Heather in Sydney as well.
Well, Sam, if you decide to go down and visit to Australia, let me know and get in touch with me, and I'll go down at the same time.
You got it. You got it. That's
right?
A good idea. We'll
Yay!
Go visit her. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go together. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I don't know what we'll find her doing over there when we go, but
Michael, I don't know if you can handle traveling with Sam. He's a bit of a Jew.
A bit of a Jew.
So am I.
Yeah, I'm just a bit of a Jew.
Michael, you are the most Jewish non-Jew I know.
I am. I grew up in a town in Swampscott, Massachusetts, which is
all
Jewish.
Jews.
And now I'm in Boca Raton, so I tell people I'm Jewish by osmosis.
Yeah, there you go.
I tell people I'm Jewish by injection.
By association, yeah.
I tell everybody I'm half Jewish. I'm half Jewish. That's the way I grew up. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
What's the weather like in Boca Raton now?
Now?
Yes.
Oh, it's probably 75 today.
He's in Boston right now.
Oh, I thought he said he was
right
in Boca Raton.
No, yeah,
he has a house there.
I'm here. I'm not going to Boca for till Sunday.
Oh, I see. Okay.
What's it like
in
Boston?
It's not bad today. It's probably 35. It's going to be 50s soon.
Yeah.
It's like 50 right now. And I'm freezing. And I'm wearing that awful leather jacket that you hate that I threw a fit about.
That was that jacket. I could see that in the picture you sent me.
Yes. Yeah. I threw a fit and I cried and I pouted and I pouted, and you wouldn't buy it for me. And I was like, please, Michael, I want this jacket more than life itself. And the store was closing.
Go back into the store. I know the store. The store is Bon Hotels. It's a very famous old 100-year-old store in
it's
Boston.
Louis Boston.
Oh, no, it wasn't Bon Hotels. It was Louis. Yeah,
it was Louis, yes.
Yeah. And we went back, and I think they actually opened up for us again, didn't they?
Yeah, they had closed the store, and they reopened the store for us.
Yeah, to go up and get the jacket.
I love having friends in high places.
Yeah,
he used to bring a gun out on dates with me because he wanted to protect me.
Really? That's cool.
I was like, what's that in your pocket? I was like, are you just really happy to see me? And he's like, touch it. And I was like, oh, my God, you're really happy to see me, or that's a gun? I'm like, Jesus Christ, Michael. I was like, I think I could protect us, like, with just my hands, my unarmed combat skills, if anyone tried to mug us or attack us.
So how long have you known each other?
Going on, like, 6 years now, huh?
6 years.
I would say. Yes. You're very close to 6 years.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. So you know her pretty well. I mean, you probably know
pretty
her better
than
a lot of people, yeah.
He knows me better than I know myself.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And we have our birthday coming up.
Really? You have
we
the
do.
Same birthday?
We have the same birthday.
Wow,
March 14th.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
March 14th. I'll be 65.
Amazing.
I'll be 27.
Amazing. Wonderful. Well, you still live in the life, man, and that's cool. And, well, thanks. You know, I don't want to take up too much of your time. He was talking to clients and stuff there, customers.
Yes,
so, thanks for the input, man, because I was really curious how you felt about it.
And don't forget, you and I will go down and visit.
You got it.
Yay!
You got it,
Michael.
Right. Any friends, a friend of Susie's is my friend as well.
All right,
Michael.
All right, Michael. Love you. I'll call you later.
Okay.
Bye.
He's cool, Susie.
I know he's cool.
Yeah.
I don't hang around with uncool people.
It's a very unusual relationship, though.
It's very unusual.
Yeah.
Very, very unusual.
Yeah.
Most people are like, what? Your best friend's like 65? And I was like, yeah, so?
Yeah.
They're like, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
Actually, I probably mentioned this before, but so my other two friends back when I was living in Massachusetts, this guy named Joel, he's 65 as well. And then my old boss, Mark, who I traveled to Africa with, he's 65 as well. And so my dad and his girlfriend came to visit me. And so instead of like going and hanging out with like my young friends or whatever, I take them on a boat ride with three 65-year-old men. And Michael was telling me later on, he's like, seriously, Susie, what must your father be thinking that you choose to just hang out with like all these old men?
Yeah.
That are older than my dad by like 5 years.
You know what? If I was your father, Susie, I would have fucking committed suicide a long time ago. I don't know what I would do. I really don't.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you're out of fucking control.
I think he just tries. You know what? I think my father, he told me once upon a time that he was jealous of all the things that I've done.
Really?
Because I'm very much like him in the sense that we're very adventurous. We like skiing. We like doing things. And we like Colorado. And he took off and traveled to Australia 4 different occasions in his life as well. Uh-huh. And absolutely loved it down there. But he's like, Susie, I'm jealous that you had the balls to drop out of school, that you had the balls to like move to a ski resort and like do the whole ski bum thing. These are things that I've wanted to do my whole life. And you have had the balls to do it.
Well, there you go. There you go. So he must not be feeling that bad about it. You know, I mean, yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, look, you know, you get used to a daughter like this, you know?
Yes.
Were you always like this?
Yes, actually. I kind of have always been just... Yes.
I mean, you up and left for school on your own when you were very young.
Yes.
Yeah.
Been doing this for many, many years now.
Yeah, so they've had a lot of time to adjust to that.
Yes, they have. They definitely have. But my mom is just not happy with those Facebook pictures.
No, huh?
No.
Well, take them down then.
No.
Take them down.
You know what? Did I bring this up in the
air? Why would you want to upset your mom?
I don't want to upset her, but the thing is, did I tell you when I was like, I don't know, like 10 or 11 years old about the photo shoot she made me do?
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Like screw her and screw that.
And I analyzed you about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, seriously, if she's going to like set that kind of example for me as a child and like have me do this, is it okay? Oh, it's okay if it's for money.
Yeah.
So long as I'm not getting money for it, and you know what I mean? I'm just, whatever. I consider these things like my form of art.
Yeah.
Like, my life is my art form, and I like to express myself in different ways, and you know what I mean? I'm a product of my environment in the way that I grew up, and yes, it might be a little bit fucked up, but that's who I am. Like, they're
exactly.
not obscene.
Yeah.
I think they're beautiful and artful and tasteful in a weird way,
right?
And there's no areola, therefore, whatever.
Yeah. So it's okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to take them down. If she doesn't want to be my Facebook friend, she can, like, defriend me.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I don't know how I'd react if I were her. But, yeah, I mean, look. Yeah, she has to accept you the way you are.
She made me the way I am. It's her fault.
Never the performer, I'm telling you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm always on camera. Like, seriously. This one time I took mushrooms, and I was in Colorado at the time. And all of a sudden, the mushrooms kicked in full force. I was with Janique. And so we're at my ex-fiance's apartment, and we're like running around. And Janique gets all this paper out and tapes it to the wall and starts painting and drawing pretty flowers and pictures. Me, I put on like this ridiculously expensive outfit. And I go, like a cashmere sweater and like these pants, and everything was just back from the dry cleaner. And I go and I get in the bathroom and I have a cigarette. I'm in the shower and I turn the shower on. And the cigarette's not staying lit, obviously, because I'm in the shower.
You're smoking a cigarette while you're in the shower?
Yes, I was doing a scene in my mind.
Oh, okay.
And so all of a sudden, like, I've got the cameras, like, rolling, and so I'm like, cut, cut, the scene is not working. I mean, you guys, the cigarette is not staying lit. This is just not happening. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Can we get hair and makeup in here? Her hair's a wreck. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, no, Jesus, this is just not working out. And so, like, I'm having this whole dialogue with myself and my imaginary, like, camera crew, because I'm, like, filming a scene in my mind.
Right.
Because I'm constantly, you know, having been on camera my whole childhood, I'm constantly on. You know what I mean? I never really get to turn myself off.
Right.
And so it's just weird that, like, I was doing these drugs and, like, it manifested itself in this. And Janique came into the bathroom, like, while I'm doing this, and she's like, Susie, like, who are you talking to? And I was like, the camera crew, hair and makeup. I mean, like, cut. We got an interruption. We gotta start over again. Can you get me a new cigarette? Thanks. And she was just like, I think you've lost it. And I'm like, thanks, bitch. Yes, I love you too.
Yeah, that's why I'm surprised.
Oh, I have to tell you this. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's so funny, but it's not funny, but it's so funny. So, you know how she had her DUI?
Yes.
So, we've been playing phone tag and not really keeping in touch that well because we've both just been very busy and I've been traveling and she's been busy trying to do school and get her DUI taken care of. For 2 years, she has to have a breathalyzer in her car.
Oh, my God. 2 years.
2 years. Her car will not start. It's like the 40-year-old virgin. Yeah. Will not start until she blows into her breathalyzer.
Wow. 2 years?
2 years.
Yeah.
And this is her first offense.
Yeah.
And she's got like 200
hours. Well,
maybe
you should learn a lesson out of all this.
I told her not to drink and drive that night.
Do you tell yourself not to?
I said, Janique, a DUI is very expensive. It's much cheaper to take a cab. Yeah. And she's like, wah, 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 wah. She's like, I'm fine. I'm driving. Next day she calls me like right after she gets out of jail. She's like, I just spent the night in jail. And I'm like, baby. But how funny is that she has to blow into a breathalyzer?
Yeah, it's not funny.
It's hysterical. That is so hysterical.
Why?
I think all cars should have them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah.
That would be brilliant.
I agree. I'd like to see people stop driving drunk.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? I should start trying to... I should start talking to like... MAD? Mothers Against Drunk Driving?
Yes.
I should talk to them and try and get breathalyzers installed in like every car worldwide.
Yeah.
That could be an interesting crusade. Coming from me, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be the Mother Teresa of like sex toys and go to like Saudi Arabia and like liberate the women with like butt plugs and vibrators. and then I'll also do that. So it'll be like, yes, yes. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I guess I do.
But so the poor girl, my friend Janique, I just feel so badly because she was in Vail with her car and the breathalyzer broke. So all of a sudden she's blowing into it and it's saying that she's drunk and the car won't start.
Oh, shit.
So she actually had to have it towed 2 hours to Boulder, which she had to pay out of pocket to have done.
Whoa.
And then she went up to the place and was like, my breathalyzer is broken. And they're like, well, obviously you were drunk when you were trying to start the car. And she's like, no, I wasn't. It was fucking 8 a.m. I wasn't drinking. And so then they went out and they told her that she was lying and that she was drunk. And then they went out and they blew into it and it was actually really broken. But they still made her pay out of pocket.
Really?
To have it fixed.
Fuck.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, well. Stories.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you got to stay away from that drinking, man, and getting into a car. You know, it's a fucking weapon.
I know.
It is a weapon.
It is.
Anyway, I wanted to let you know, tomorrow we're going to have or scheduled to have a transsexual in here. And her name... I'm tempted to say he. I'm wondering if I'm going to refer to him as a he or a she.
I know.
Yeah. Because that is a guy.
I think she considers herself a she-male.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I don't. I mean, to me, they're guys. You know? So we'll see. I mean, it might be. But you said you looked up the pictures
yep.
and she still has a penis.
Yep.
Wow.
I was a little bit shocked.
Yeah.
Not much shocks me, but I was a little shocked.
Yeah.
It's just very disconcerting to see a woman having her dick sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when she fucks, it's like anal.
Right?
Did you see any fucking on there?
No, I was just flabbergasted and couldn't stop staring at the dick sucking picture.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Okay.
It was just very, very confusing.
Do you remember her name? I don't remember her name. What was
like, I don't either.
Last name is James, but I can't remember
Daisy?
The first name.
No.
No, not Daisy James.
But
anyway, she's going to be here tomorrow, and that should be fun. On Wednesday, we're going to have another porn star, and we'll see the rest
up.
Of the week. Yes, yes. And so we have quite a few interesting shows this week to mark Susie's departure. And yeah, we're all sad.
Good, because I'm running out of things to say.
Are you?
No.
Okay, go to Australia, come back next year. We'll start over again.
Seriously. My goodness.
All right, Susie. What are you doing after this?
I have a date.
You have a date today?
Yes.
Cool. Does Daniel know about it?
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
I told him I had a date.
So he's fine with you. That's good.
Yes.
That's good. We'll see.
For now, we kind of have not an open relationship, but, You know what I mean? We're free to do what we want until we figure out what exactly is going to happen.
I see. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. But that's good enough for you to make plans around. So.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be right here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.